Hints for the heavenly homes. And in hour's time, I'm going to give you about a weekend's worth of information. So I hope you all can listen as fast as I can talk, because I can talk real fast. And I want to encourage you, if you don't get everything down, that the notes have quite a bit in here we can fill in. And I can talk louder. If you all can't hear, just somebody give me a thumbs up and I'll turn the volume up a little bit louder, or we can have our class monitor. Okay. I want to talk tonight about an American saga of the hectic, harried housewife. And if you all are here because you feel harried, well, I think we're all one of a kind. We've all felt that way sometime in our life, I know. Have you heard about the lady who was trying to get more organized and she decided to start by cleaning out her hall closet? So she went to the hall closet and the first thing she pulled out was an old Monopoly game, and she thought, let's see, game, children's room, I'll take this to the children's room. She went in, and of course the kids didn't know how to play Monopoly, so she had to sit down and help them out. An hour later, as she was walking back to the closet, she tripped over her kids' boots. She picked those up but made it back to the closet to pull out the next item, a flashlight, but it didn't work. Didn't have battery. She thought, I'm going to get more organized. I will write this down on my grocery list. But when she went to get her pencil, the lead was broken. But that's okay. She knew where a pencil sharpener was, in her bathroom drawer, her eyebrow pencil sharpener. And as she was going into her room to sharpen her pencil to write batteries down on her kitchen list, an old friend called with a need. And as she was talking to her friend, she kind of got carried away with time. And then a small child came in crying, and she comforted the child and looked at her watch and thought, oh no, it's time to fix lunch. Where has the morning gone? She hurriedly fixed her children's lunch, and since she was trying to lose a little weight, she decided to skip lunch. She went to put them to bed but realized they had pulled all of their toys out and put them on top of the bed. So after she cleared off their beds and put them down for their naps, she went back to tackle the hall closet. But when she looked into it and realized how much energy it was going to take, she thought, maybe if I just get a quick snack and just turn on television a minute and rest my feet, I'll be able to get up and tackle that closet. That night, when her husband came home from work and the house was a mess and dinner wasn't ready, she was still wondering, where has my time gone? Now, I hope all of that didn't happen to any of you one day, but sometimes I feel like it was pretty similar to that. And I think that's a typical day in the lives of thousands of American women, whether you work only at home or whether you work at home and outside of the home. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, why is harried Harriet so hurried? I think there's several reasons. From the minute you turn on the television to the radio, we are being told, you know, what kind of no wax, never needs to be polished, floor wax to put on our never needs waxing floor, and what kind of biodegradable sudsing, low sudsing detergent to use in our dishwasher. We are being told what to use, how to use it, when to use it, and when to do it. And we are constantly being pulled by our emotions. You know, advertisements are all aimed at a woman's, you know, emotions. And everyone is vying for our time. And because harried Harriet has no plans of her own, she is easily swayed by the plans and emotional pleas of others. Well, what are some of Harriet's hindrances and habits? Why is she so hindered? First of all, she is generally living a feeling-oriented life. Because she does what she feels like, it is easy for others to stir her emotions up and therefore to change what she might have planned to do. The second reason is she's easily distracted by the urgent, immediate needs and often overlooks the important. She is trapped by the trivial pursuits of life. Third, she has no plan or goal to guide her life, much less her day. And she never knows what to do next until she trips over it. Because she has failed to plan, she has planned to fail. Fourth, not only is she disorganized, although generally busy, but there is an attitude that she carries with her that others notice. It's an attitude of harriedness. Somebody said, is that really a word? Yes, it's in the dictionary. And harried means to make a pillaging or destructive raid, to force to move along, or to torment as by constant attack. Now, see, that really sounds like my toddler. but the synonym for harried is worried. And that's the attitude she carries with her. Because she is harried and hurried, distracted and disturbed, because she has the wrong purposes for her life. When I was growing up, I always had a special drawer in my room for junk. And anything I didn't know where to put up or didn't have time to put up, I, you know, opened that room and put it in there. By the time I left home and went to college, I had a whole junk room. At least that's what my parents called it. When I changed clothes, I was very careful to lay my clothes on this chair by my bed, very neatly. And at the end of 2 weeks, you know, my clothes were still piled there neatly for me to put on whenever I needed to. When I went to college, I began to see that other people lived differently. And of course, you know, you never listen to your parents when you're, you know, at home, or I didn't, and I just thought, oh, that's my parents' way of doing it, I'll do it another way. Well, when I went to college, I found out that there were other girls who actually had something ironed before they needed to wear it. And when you walked into their room, you could walk into their room. And I thought, you know, these people are different. Not only are their lives neat and orderly, but there's a spirit of peace about them. I didn't know what it was then, but I really did envy it. Well, the solution towards solving my problem came in an unusual way for me. Not only was my room in shambles at that time in my my life, but my life was in shambles too. I had become a Christian several years before then, and I knew that if I died, I would go to heaven. But that's all I knew of the Christian life. And I was frustrated with what I was experiencing of the Christian life. And I can remember laying in bed and saying, Jesus, I quit. I am sick of the Christian life. It is a bunch of bull, and you can have it. And it was as if the Lord, you know, was speaking to, you know, through me, saying to God, you know, help, I'm sinking. And I began to see some changes in my life when I just, you know, said, God, you know, if you want me to live the Christian life, you're going to have to live it through me, because I can't do it. And it was like the Lord said, hooray, I was wondering when you were going to say that. And the first change for me came the next morning when I woke up early. And I had this strange desire to read my Bible, which was a strange and new desire for me. And I picked up my Bible and went down to the study hall on my dorm room floor, and of course early in the morning there was nobody studying. And as I began to read my Bible for the first time, I began to see that God had some special things to say to me. And I also began to see some other changes in my life. Gradually, I began to see changes go from the inside to the outside, and my room began to change. The first time I went home, I began to see that my mother and I could have something else to talk about besides my messy room. And it's been really fun to communicate on things other than that. I began to sense a deep contentment and satisfaction in my life that I'd never known. And since that time in my life, I've had three major opportunities to readjust and kind of reevaluate. The first one was when I graduated from college and began to work full-time. The second one was when I got married and continued to work part-time. And then the third one was when I had children. Of course, now I work all the time. I think I'm busier than I've ever been in my life, but I'm more content. And I see God bringing more order than I ever dreamed was possible. I am not a naturally born, organized type person. Some of you here may be. The majority, well, probably 50% of people are naturally organized and 50% are naturally slobs. And I'm a natural slob. So everything I'm going to share with you, I have learned, and probably the hard way, so I hope that gives you help. Well, let's talk about the plan. What does God's plan involve? And I'm going to go through some of these things pretty quickly tonight, because I really want us to focus on some of the practical things. So I will not read all of the verses. I think some of them are printed on your outline. Psalms 90, verses 9 through 12, tells us that God is the owner of all time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 also points out that God has said not only is he the owner of time, but he has set a time for everything. You know, Peter, Paul, and Mary in my generation made a real popular song of that. For every season there's a, for every season there is a time. How's it go now? Anyway, God has set everything in order, and He has a plan for how we use our time. If you find that you are either constantly running out of time or that you are bored and don't know what to do with your time, and usually we kind of head toward one of those extremes, then the problem is that you're not using your time the way God wants you to. If you're bored, God wants to bring some things into your life that will fulfill your life. And if you're, you know, running with your tongue hanging out, He wants to help you decide what things need to be eliminated from your life and give you the power to do the things He's leading you to do. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 also talks about our use of time, and I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And then throughout that passage, God begins to list, you know, what is His will. And He lists His will in accordance to some relationships that we're going to talk about in a moment. Another important verse for us to understand is 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. In the Living Bible, this says, "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you? Your own body does not belong to yourself, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because He gave it to you." And that's the foundation for time. Philippians 2:13 says that anything that God asks us to do, He gives us the will and the way and the power to do it. Well, does God's plan really involve organizing my time? Is He really interested in that? As I was studying this topic, I was really excited to see how many references there are in Scripture to the use of time, to setting goals, to order. And I kind of made a study just in Proverbs, going through Proverbs and listing some of these categories down. One of the verses I came across was Proverbs 19:2, and the New International Version says, "It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." And what that verse is saying is, you know, a lot of us, you know, wake up in the morning and we think, you know, aha, Saturday morning, I'm going to get a lot done. But we don't think about what to do first or write any type of plan down. As we just get in there, we have all this energy. At the end of the day, you know, we kind of think, well, now, what did I do today? And that's what that verse is talking about. A lot of times our energy is misdirected. And if it is, we won't be able to accomplish the most important things. Busyness does not always result in productivity. And can't you see that with your children? Little children especially are busy all day long. And what have they produced at the end of the day? Nothing. I feel like that a lot of times, don't you? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner." God is an organized God. Look at the universe. Remember when you studied about the solar system back in fifth grade and how God set this planet here and this one here and they rotate this way and how everything had to be just so? God is a God of order, and He wants us to live ordered lives. Proverbs 10:27 is an exciting verse. You know, a lot of us think, well, I would do that if I just had more hours in the day. Has anybody ever said that? "I just wish I had more hours in the day." Do you know that God says you can get more hours in the day? In the Bible? It's in the Bible. Proverbs 10:27 says, "Reverence for God adds hours to each day." Now, I like that verse. A lot of times I claim that. I said, "Okay, God, I need an extra few hours today." Well, in order to plan our time, we need to first know what our priorities are in life. A priority is something that is of prior importance. And what does the Bible say our priorities are? Well, in the passage in Ephesians, if we would continue reading through that passage, and we're not going to take time to do that tonight, but if we would continue to do that, we would see, and I've listed them in order on your outline, that God has given us a set of priorities from that passage. The first one is our relationship with God. Matthew 6:33 says that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know what the all these things are? Food, clothing, shelter, our basic needs in life. That God says the key is to seek me first. Then the second priority, if you're married, would be your husband. Ephesians 5:35 in the Amplified Bible says, let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, loves and admires him exceedingly. You doing all that? The next priority is our children. There's a workshop on children, so I'm not going to say anymore about that for those of you who have children. For those of you who work, work would be your next priority for those of you who work outside of the home. The reason why it has to be next is because if you've made a commitment to an employer to be at work so many hours a day, how would it be if you called up one day and said, look, Mr. So-and-so, I'm really sorry, I can't come in today. I have got to stay home and wax my floor and defrost my freezer. Do you know what your boss would tell you? Take a few extra days off. Clean the whole house. And don't call me, I'll call you. So work has to be the next priority for those of you who work out of home. But for those of you who do not work outside of home, home would be your next priority because home is where you work. So there's some verses listed on that I'll let you look up later. One I want to read is Psalms 101:2. It says, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should. And you know, home should be the one place where we really are acting like Christians.
You know, when I was saved at home, I was kind of right after children, like, mm-hmm. you know, then your husband and then the children and then home.
Well,
would be the next priority.
But see, you can't do that because if you've made a commitment to an employer to work 20 hours a week, you know, you have to make that commitment to that employer. Or you have to make a flexible commitment to him. Husband and children is a relationship does come above work. But when I talk about home, I mean the maintenance of the home. I mean, you know, mopping the kitchen floor. Yeah, the drudge, right. Uh-huh, that's right. You've got it. Okay. Yeah, right. I appreciate that. The next priority I listed just is a large category of others, our relationship to other people, and have listed some verses there. You know, there are only two things on earth that will last throughout eternity. People and the Word of God. The souls of people and the Word of God will last throughout eternity. And those are the two things that we should be building our lives around. I put self last. And the reason I did that is because most of us don't have a problem in taking care of ourselves. We see that we have enough to eat. We see that we have enough, you know, clothing to wear, you know, we have a place to sleep. For some of you, you may be putting other people before yourself to the extent that you're misusing your body. And that's another extreme. But these priorities will help you evaluate where your use of time is going. And later you'll see how those are kind of the key point in evaluating how to use our time. Well, let's talk just a minute about attitudes. You may be asking yourself, why bother? Nobody cares. What difference does it make? I'm not appreciated. Who'll notice? Well, it's just these kinds of wrong and negative attitudes that drain us of energy. You know, our problem is really not that we don't have enough time, but our problem is that we don't have enough energy. You know, I'm sure most of you sleep. You know, and you know, if our problem was really we don't have enough time, well, we could just give up sleeping, couldn't we? We'd get a lot done if we didn't need to sleep. But after a while, we'd run out of energy, so we'd have to sleep. So, and a lot of times it's these attitudes that drain us of physical energy because God has not made our bodies to carry wrong and negative thoughts. They drain us of energy. Well, God cares, and there's so many passages in Scripture where God has just really told us that we're important to Him, and that he wants to use everything that comes into our life for good. James 1, 2 through 8 tells us that we are to greet our trials as friends, and that God wants to use even the things that we see as not helpful to us to build character into us, to help us to depend more upon God, and even to build discipline and self-control in our life. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, but only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Jay Adams has written an excellent little booklet called Godliness Through Discipline. Some of you might want to look through this. And in this book, he says, you know, when I hear the word discipline, I've got to have discipline in myself. It kind of scares me because I think, well, I don't have any. Where am I going to get it? But Jay Adams in his book says that discipline means work. It means sustained daily effort. Now, I can work, but if I have to conjure up something nebulous in my mind like self-control or self-discipline, it's not there. But if somebody gives me a goal and helps me set some steps, I can work toward the goal, and most of you all can do that too. It may mean having to get up a little bit earlier, or it may be staying up a little later, or it may be doing something when you don't really feel like it, when you're tired already. 1 Peter 5, 7 is another verse that talks about God's care for us. It says, "Let him have all your worries and cares, for he's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you." You know, God is concerned for us. He really is a caring and a personal God. But it's the cares or concerns of the world oftentimes that distract us and rob us of fellowship time with God. Mark 4:19 says, "Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasures and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." I think that if we're to be effective, whatever we're doing as a wife, a mother, a single person, a daughter, an employee, we need to be careful that our focus is on God and that we don't allow the concerns and worries of the world to distract us from seeking God first. Well, let's talk a minute about some careless wasters of time. In an article I was reading on time management, a very famous time management consultant listed these reasons as wasters of time: lack of objectives, priorities, or deadlines, indecision and procrastination, lack of standards, fatigue, the blues, daydreaming, phone calls, visitors. And then for housewives, I thought of a few more. The television, repeated snacking, looking for misplaced objects, sleeping late, reading the newspaper or mail. One of the things I've started doing after I read this article was when I read my mail and the newspaper, I do it standing up because you have a tendency to spend less time doing it. You know how nice it is to sit down with a cup of coffee and leisurely read the mail or the paper, and how long does it take you? But if you stand up and do it, you get it done a lot quicker. And there are only certain things I'm looking for in the paper: the comics and sales. Some of you are maybe more intellectual than I. Read the headlines in the business section. Some of our interruptions also may appear to be good, like a visit from a Christian friend or a phone call from a Christian friend who's really having a problem and we want to deal, you know, help her deal with the problem. Or maybe you find a really good Christian article in the newspaper and you want to read it. You know, I don't think there's I'm being facetious. But I think it's real helpful for us to remember that the enemy of the best is the good. And a lot of things that appear to be good are an enemy for the best things in our life. We need to be evaluating as we're using our time. And as phone calls and invitations come in from friends, you know, would this be best, you know, for me now, for my family, for what needs to be done? Well, let's talk just a moment about control of the mind, because if you don't control your mind, you can't control your actions, can you? Psalms 105:3 in the Amplified says, "Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek and require the Lord as their indispensable necessity." I really believe the first step to gaining control of our mind is to spend time alone with God. If we're not doing that, praying and committing our day to Him, if we're not getting a word from God, we're going to be going into our day aimlessly, without direction. Proverbs 22:3 in the Living Bible says, "A prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. A simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." You know, I don't want to suffer the consequences of just launching into my day without God. Then I think the next thing we need to know is that we need to keep the right mindset during the day and not allow our mind to wander. Romans 8:5 in the New International Version says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." Our mindset will lead to our attitudes. Our attitudes will lead to our actions. Our actions will lead to a lifestyle. And our lifestyle will lead to a destiny. What we think about is what we will become. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Our mindset leads to attitudes. Attitudes leads to actions, which leads to lifestyle, which leads to a destiny. Our actions always follow our thoughts. To change our actions, we must first change our thoughts. What are you allowing yourself to think about during the day? Proverbs 28:19 in the New International says, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty." You're looking at a daydreamer. God has really dealt with me in the area of just letting my mind be jello. Or, you know, fall, you know, and go this way and that way. Learning how to control my mind, you know, when I'm working around the house. I think especially for those of us who are housewives, this is a dangerous trap. When we have a 40-hour week job or even a 20 or 10-hour week job, while we're on the job, our mind is preoccupied with accomplishing the job. But oftentimes at home, we can let our mind just roam. When I get off the track in my mind, I just confess it as sin and ask God to help me get back on the track, as Herman mentioned, and I go on in the day. Well, let's talk about some actions. First of all, you need to have a plan. Proverbs 16 is kind of a favorite chapter for me, and verse 3 in the Amplified says, "Roll your works upon the Lord, commit them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." And verse 9 says, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure." God says, go ahead and plan. I want you to plan, but trust me to direct you along the way. I call that God's PPP plan. You pray, you plan, and you pray again. And I like to really do this during the day. The second thing is you need to work your plan. And that's what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. And you'll need this outline that has the charts on it. Now, I have also given an instruction page, which you do not need to read now. This is totally for future reference. And I have had these pages printed for you to use at a future date. If you like the plan, you can, you know, copy them off and, you know, use them. There's even a schedule sheet in here called Timely Tidbits. So what you might want to do, I'm going to show you some illustrations on the overhead projector of these charts. You might want to take notes on an extra piece of paper if you need to, and save these pages for later.
This day back here, time for 10 minutes, this is straight at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock at night.
In the morning, of course, unless you work the night shift, and then it. Well, I have made that for a wide range of working needs. Okay, let's talk about the first sheet is priority profile. Since we talked about the priorities of our relationships with God, husband, and children, I never can do these things right here. Let me see. The first half of your outline is present activities. And I'm just kind of giving an idea, and we're just going to talk through this quickly. Stop me if you have questions, and we'll try to deal with them as we have time here. Under God, you might just, and this is just kind of a brief outline. We're going to get a lot more detail, but you need to start someplace, so we're going to start here on priorities. What are your priorities in your relationship with your Lord? For me, my quiet time is a very high priority. My church attendance, that would be another high priority in my, under my relationship with God. What are some things I'd like to add or new goals? Well, one of the things I wanted to do, especially since my kids were getting older and I was getting to sleep through the night, was to have a little longer quiet time. You know, when you get to bed on time, it's always easier to get up early in the morning, or when you're not up three or four times during the night. Then under husband, present activities, I put Saturday projects because that's just kind of a time that we seem to do things. He doesn't have to work the whole day. What's something I wanted to add? Daily admiration. You know, my husband, I should be the one who gives my husband, you know, the most admiration. There's a lot of other sweet honeys out there that would like to, you know, warm up, you know, to our husbands. You might think you haven't seen my husband, but let me tell you, somebody out there besides you can be attracted to your husband. So that's a way of keeping the home fires warm, as Irma calls it. Children, my main activity, carpool, some things I wanted to add, toilet training, my daughter, I marked that off. What are some things here? Under home, since I don't work full time, I try to get all my house cleaning done on one day. I'm gonna, those of you who work out of the home, I'll talk about that later. What are some things I wanted to add? When I first had these transparencies made, we had just moved, and for those of you who've moved, you know what the boxes are. So unpack remaining boxes. Reorganize the project planner. We'll talk about that. In my relationship with others, I was leading a Bible study. I had met some new neighbors I wanted to share Christ with. That kind of gives you an idea of some things that you want to put down on your priority planner. And then under the next sheet, or I don't know what order yours are in since the printer did it, but let's look at the daily do list. This is the list. The priority profile is just to kind of get you started thinking and to give you place to put down some goals that you wanted to add and just to evaluate, okay, what are some things, where's my time going? But on this sheet, I want you to put down everything you do on a daily basis. At least, this is something you do at least 5 days a week, maybe in probably 7 days a week. If you don't do it as much as 5 days a week, don't put it down on this piece of paper. We'll put that down someplace else. And mine is not complete. I just have written down some things here to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. In your relationship with God, you know, what are you doing on a daily basis in your relationship with God? You know, you may want to add some goals in here. Maybe you're not having a quiet time every day, but you really want to. Boy, go ahead and put that down, because if you don't put it down, if you don't set it as a goal, you're not going to accomplish it. Then in your relationship with your husband, you know, what are you doing on a daily basis, you know, in your relationship with your husband? I have down here straighten bed and bathroom. And I'm just going to answer that before you even ask me why I have that down there. But for my husband, the most important room in the house to be picked up is his bedroom and his bathroom, which is also my bedroom and my bathroom. You know, what is your husband's, you know, area? Darian Cooper, in her book, How to Be the Wife of Happy Husbands, explains in greater detail than I am why, you know, the husband's bedroom is such an important area to him. But I would be willing to think that those of you who are married, that would probably be an important area for your husband, too. It may be the living room if he has to walk from wherever he parks his car through the living room to get to the bedroom if there's too much in the way. it's a little difficult. And I know with young children that, you know, there are certain times when there's much more clutter than at other times. Another one I put down was to be slow to talk, but to be quick to listen. You know, how many of us, the minute our husbands walk into the door, I mean, we just dump everything on them. You know, and here they are just recuperating from whatever happened at work, and we start piling all these things on them. My husband and I, after we'd been married a couple of years, he told me after a couple of weeks of a real bad discussion on my part, he says, please don't bring up anything of major importance after 9:45 at night. I cannot handle it. Now, it's when he was working, you know, about 16 hours a day. So it may be the same way for your husband. But put down, what are the things that you need to do in the relationship with your husband? How about your children? Mine are young, so I'm helping them dress. You know, I'm teaching them responsibility and picking up their toys and dressing. Does anybody have young children under 5? Okay, a few of you do. You know, when you teach a child to dress and stuff and pick up their toys, do you leave the room and come back and it's done? No way, Jose. As my kid says. No, you stay there and you say, okay, now you put this arm in like that. That's good. Oh, you did great. All right, now the next thing I want you to pick up is you help them, you know. You help them by talking. You don't help them by doing it for them. Howard Hendricks says that everything that we do for a child that they can do for themselves teaches them dependence on us. And that's not the right kind of dependence we want to build into our child. That builds an irresponsible person. TAT is a term my friend coined for total attention time. Her goal is that every day each of her children will have some TAT. It may be 2 minutes, but they're going to get it. A lot of kids, that's all they need is 2 minutes. Some may need 30. You know, so we, you know, what are the needs of your children? Under home, what do you do on a daily basis? Well, cook, clean up. clean the house, so on. Others, the only thing I do on a regular basis in my relationship with other people is to be sensitive to callers or people who come to my door. And I have to be honest here, and for those of you who do this, I'm really sorry, but if you have a job where you call people and you try to sell things to them, or you're raising funds and you call people and that's your job, I want you to know that I'm one of those terrible people who doesn't like you to call. And I'm really working on my attitude and how to very politely and sweetly say, no, thank you. I'm not interested, but thank you for calling. So that's the only thing I could think of on others. In my relationship with myself, well, you know, fix my hair, makeup, dress, whatever. And I put read the mail and paper standing up. I tell you, I may not get my Bible read some days, but I read the comics and the newspaper. Do y'all do that? You know, I had a friend of mine tell me once that it really bothered her to realize that she was giving more priority to the comics than to God's Word. And I kind of went, I wish you hadn't said that. Now, those of you who work outside of your home may be wondering, where is work on this outline? Well, as a past employer, I would say that if my employee came to me and said, you know, I would like to have some time at work to think about how I could be more effective in my job and in helping you achieve your goals, do you think I would give you some extra time at work to do that? You bet. I would probably pay you double. So for those of you who work outside of the home, you think how to be effective at work. But now and at home, let's concentrate it on the home, because no place else will you have a chance to do that. Okay, the weekly will list is something you do once or twice or maybe 3 times a week. Now you're going to see when we get through with all these charts why we're doing this. But this is going to help you begin to think logically. And what is taking my time? Have you all wondered, where does my time go? Also, one thing I forgot to mention, that for those of you who work outside of your home, and especially on the daily do list, if you'll just draw a line across the middle of the page, You might want to list in the top half the daily chores that you do before work and the chores or jobs that you need to do after work, because you're going to have whatever it is, 4 or 8 hours or 10 hours blocked off, where basically all you're going to do is work. Now, some of you may have a job where you'll have maybe you have an hour lunch break. Not many of us who work have that much time, but if you have an hour lunch break, you may be able to divide your paper into 3 sections, because there may be things you could get done on your lunch break. There might be some shopping, taking shoes to the shoe repair shop, certain errands. There may be some telephone calls, you know, that you could make. But that will kind of help you if you're working. One book I want to mention that is just excellent for the working woman is written by a woman who has a full-time job. It's called The Woman's Complete Home Organizer by Rena Stronach. I know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? If you don't think she is a busy woman, when she published the book, her children were 13, 14, and 15, and she was working full-time then. And there is an excellent section in this book on how to teach your children to work at home and how to build responsibility in them is excellent. anytime. The name of the book is The Woman's Complete Home Organizer. I'll have it up here and you can look at it. Also, she has marvelous charts in the book that if you read the book, she says, copy them at your desire. The charts are not under the copyright. Well, I guess they are under the copyright because it's in a book. But in the book, she's given you permission to copy the charts for your own personal use. So a couple of you could get a book, you know, and share it for the charts. The charts are excellent. You may not like, this is just my plan. You may not like my plan. Well, try another plan. You might want to try hers. But this is really a great book. It's short, too. Easy to read. You can read it a lot quicker standing up than you can sitting down, as a matter of fact. But anyway, especially for the working wife, that might be good for you. Okay, under your weekly list, put things you do 1 to 3 or 4 times a week. You will see under children that my children are only bathed twice a week. Now, if you want to report me, you go right ahead. But my husband said that children during the wintertime do not need to be bathed every day. Now, summer is a different matter when they're playing outside. So that has saved considerable amount of time since I'm the one who's doing the bathing. Now, when they get older, I'm sure that their bodies will require more bathing, and then it will be their responsibility to do it. Under my husband, I put down finances. Does anybody else here have the responsibility of bookkeeping or writing the bill or anything? There's a lot of us out there, yes. Well, charming thing that we do. That's why I have it under husband, is because my husband has delegated that responsibility to me. And to be totally truthful, I do not like to do it. But I love my husband. And if I don't do it, he's going to have to do it. And I know how limited his time is already. And so I would rather do it and spend time with him than have him do it and not spend time with the family. So I really do it as a love gift for him. And there may be other projects that your husband has delegated to you because of his schedule. When we were first married, my husband was still in med school, and in his med school and residency years, there were a lot of weeks where he was working 100 hours a week. So he didn't have a lot of extra time, so there were many things I did. Put that down on your chart. Mark that off. Under home, what are the things you have to do on a weekly basis? You know, that's pretty straightforward. Under your relationship with other people, my goal is I still work on correspondence. Anybody else bad about writing letters? Oh, I'm terrible. It's because I don't have a workable plan and goals, but that's something that's on the list to improve. Myself, I'm in a Bible study. I teach a Bible study. I put preparation down because some of the things that I do, the Bible study I'm in on Friday is really for my fellowship needs. whereas the Bible study I teach is really motivated to give to the needs of other people. That's why one is under others and one is under myself. Time with friends, however you want to put that down. Any questions on that? Okay, I see that I have scribbled all over this one. And I forgot that I'd done that. This is a monthly must list. And the way I've ordered this would might be just a little bit different for you, but what I did is I put down the areas in my home that I'm responsible for the upkeep on. Notice that garage and outdoors and finances is on my list. That may not be on your list. About the only thing I don't do outdoors now is mow the lawn. And my husband does that. But, you know, what are your areas of responsibility? Well, kitchen, bedrooms, bathroom, you know, some of that would be fairly basic. So let's talk about that. I have written down a few things, not everything, but a few things that I have to do at least once a month. Clean my oven. Now, if you don't clean your oven once a month, like I used to not clean my oven once a month, what does it look like when you clean it once a year? And how long does it take you to clean it once a year? Half a day? All day? You have to get a new oven? Well, I learned, and it took me a long time to come to this, but I did learn that if I cleaned my oven once a month, it took a lot less time. Now, some of you may be saying, just buy a self-cleaning oven. But maybe you can't afford to buy a self-cleaning oven. Maybe you are the self that cleans your oven. So in that case, any of these jobs that are things that have a tendency to build up, the oven, the freezer, whatever, what do your kitchen cupboards and drawers look like? Well, that's how mine look, too. So one of my continuing goals is that I take a cupboard or a drawer once a month and I straighten it up. And gradually, and especially after I've moved, I really found that once the things got in order and I had this mindset, it's been a lot easier to keep them in order. Plus, my mother-in-law unpacked my whole kitchen, and she is one of these naturally organized people. And so if you're looking for something, it's just kind of where you think it might be, because her mind is so. If your kitchen is a mess, maybe my, you know, mother-in-law would, you know, be willing to. Okay, go through each area in your home that you're responsible for and begin to write down what are the things that need to be cleaned here. Not every week, but maybe once or twice a month. And, you know, jot them down. And then after you have everything down, what you do is these little numbers are, okay, let me explain this first. Thursday is the day that I do my housekeeping chores. So on Thursday, what I do is the first Thursday of the month, I clean my oven, I clean my mini blinds and windowsills, I dust the shutters, and I dust the shutters, and I also do general house cleaning. The second Thursday of the month, I defrost a freezer. I clean fingerprints off light switches and door frames, because that's one of my husband's biggest pet peeves. If it was up to me, I wouldn't care. But since we live together, it does make for more harmony, so I do that. I destroy the cobwebs. I have spider problems in my house. I keep going over that one. I don't do that on Thursday. So what I've done is I've tried to decide, since I know, and like I said, these aren't all of the things, these aren't the only things I do, my list would go on. But what I tried to do was, I knew that I was going to spend about 2 hours every Thursday doing general house cleaning. Sometimes I have to cut it down and do less, sometimes I do more. But that's really, with 2 kids, 3 and 5, that's really how long it takes me. For some of you, it might take you 5 hours if you have, you know, little babies who hang on to your feet when you walk from room to room. But, you know, whatever the time takes you, then you kind of decide, okay, how much time do I have to do an extra chore? And for me, I decided I had 2 hours. So I try to get in 4 hours of real hard cleaning every week. And basically, you know, it takes me 6 hours, by the way, to get 4 hours of work in with my children, the ages they are now. Or maybe it takes me longer than that. But anyway, then you try to order these chores so that you're not doing a heavy job, you know, all on the first Thursday of the month. And that's why I've kind of skipped around. Here's a one, here's a one, here's a one. But here we go, two, 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 and here's four, four, four. There's no four over here. Just kind of, you know, group those things together. And you just kind of have to arbitrarily figure out how long is it going to take me to do that and what can I put together. And then you try it, and if it doesn't work, you don't throw the whole thing out. Just try a different combination. Any questions about that?
How do you keep to that schedule? How do you make yourself similar? What about the major disasters that happen every day?
I'm really glad you asked that question. How old are your children?
14 months.
Okay. I didn't have a schedule like this. It's a goal. Realistically, there's a lot of times when you don't get to it. But because I know I'm going to clean my oven on the first Thursday of every month, if something comes up, and say like it's all my effort, you know, or like one of my kids, I have ear infections at my house all the time. So I'm holding a child who's crying all day long because I have an ear infection. And, you know, I can only fit an hour and a half of cleaning in. Well, I don't clean my oven, but I know I'm going to clean it next month. And it's because you're doing it on a regular basis that when things come up like this, you know, you can stop and say, my house isn't going to, you know, collapse if I miss cleaning the oven, because I know I'm going to get it done next month. Okay, any other questions? When your children are real young, I really think you have to be a lot more flexible. When your children are older, if you're at home during the day while they're at school, you have some time during the day where you can, you know, really hustle and work hard. But, you know, when your kids are little and they're home with you all the time, you know, you may find your best working time is, you know, nap time or whatever. And if they're old enough and you're not having to take naps, then you do fine. But if they're little nursing babies and you nurse, you know, all night long every 2 hours for 30 minutes, you probably need to take a nap too. You know, and so during those days, I had two things, I think, that I tried to do each day besides nurse a baby, change diapers, nurse a baby, change diapers, nurse a baby, change diapers, and cook maybe, you know, half of one meal. You know, realistically, you know, you can't do that unless you're a superwoman. Then, because I have these other projects that I need to do, I've just had to decide, you know, what a good time was another day during the week where I had a couple of hours that I could work on those projects. And I just arbitrarily decided how to set those up. Now, let me go on and explain. If you have some questions, we'll come back to it. The next sheet is the yearly yearning sheet. My husband calls it annual aggravations. And a lot of the things that I put down on my year sheet are goals that I'm striving for. They may not be accomplished facts, but I am working on some of these things, and I'm really beginning to see help. I had a friend of mine this year, I think it was the 2nd of December, and she, at that time, let's see, her children were 2 years and 9 months and 7 months old. Okay, she had a 7-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. By the 2nd of December, she had all of her Christmas presents. You're going to hate me when I tell you this. She had all of her Christmas presents wrapped. She had all of her Christmas cookies and candies baked.
What does she do on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, right. And, you know, when she told me that, I said, you know, I don't know whether to congratulate you or vomit all over you. But I said, no, I really appreciate people like you because you show me that the goal is achievable. And I said, someday maybe I can say that. You know, so one of my goals that I wrote down is in July to finish my major Christmas shopping and wrap. You know, I mean, a goal is something you aim for, isn't it? I mean, you know, it sounded pretty good to me. I read this in one of the books I read. Maybe it was this month. I can't remember. But she does. She tries to get, you know, she buys things on sale and tries to guess what people would like. And then she wraps them. But she has to, because her kids are teenagers and into wrap presents, she has this elaborate coating system. So she's the only one who knows what wrapped gift goes to what kids, so they don't open them all. But one of the things that I have done for several years and has really helped me is that in May, when the strawberries are in season in Oklahoma City, I make freezer jam. Now, you couldn't do this if you didn't have a freezer to store it. I mean, you could make a lot if you didn't have a freezer to store it in. But on those boxes of Sure Gel, and this little help, you all do it this Christmas, I can imagine, but those boxes of Sure Gel that you see in the store, there's a recipe for strawberry jam, and you don't have to cook it. And I don't consider myself a good cook. You just mix the smashed strawberries, sugar, Sure Gel, water, pour it together, put it in jars, let it cool, and put it in the freezer. Now, I can do that. So when my kids have to give a little gift to Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. Marion and all these people at Christmas time, there's at least, you know, 20 gifts. Usually I make 36 jars of jam, pints of jam. Some are for us and some are to give away. And we've started to give them away to our neighbors as an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors and just get to share with them. So that's just one little trick. You may have another little handicraft that you can do, but I'm not very artsy and crafty, so that's about all I can manage. So whatever it is, but these are just give you some things to look at that you might want to put on your list. And then the way you put this all together is on a schedule sheet called the Timely Tidbits sheet. And the way I start doing this is I start out, I go back to my daily do list, and I say, okay, what do I need to do every day in my relationship with the Lord? Well, my quiet time, to me, I just have to make that first priority. So I write down when I plan to have my quiet time each day of the week. Then what's a next priority? Okay, well, let's take my husband. What do I need to do? Is there anything I need to do on a certain day for my husband? Well, not on a weekly basis, no. Okay, what about kids? Well, I have carpool on Wednesday and Friday, so I write that down. I have to block that time off. What about in my relationship with others? Okay, well, I have a Bible study on Wednesday, so I mark off my time Wednesday for my Bible study and Bible study Friday. Mark that time off. When am I going to prepare for those Bible studies? I mark that time off first to be sure I get it in. Then I go back to the monthly or to the weekly will list, and I say, okay, here are my projects. When am I going to do, you know, house cleaning? If your children are really young, like I mentioned earlier, you probably cannot do house cleaning on one day and get it done. You'll have to do one or two projects a day. If you are working 40 hours a week outside of the home, you will probably have to do projects every day, or all you're going to do Saturday is house cleaning. Who wants to do that? And I think, and she says this in her book too, that if you'll delegate some responsibility to your children, and if you'll do things, you know, some chores in the morning and some in the evening each day of the week, you will have some free time on Saturday. And for those of you who, you know, work, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, wouldn't you like to have some free time on Saturday? Boy, I would when I was working full time. And so you begin to write down your schedule, and then I just kind of, this is a real rough schedule, and I know you can't read it, but that's okay. The yellow marks are my free time after I got through with everything I had to do, and I was kind of encouraged that I had that much free time. I didn't think I really did, but I thought, hey, you know, there's some time in here that I have that I don't realize. And then what I do once I have, you know, and I, you have to make a lot of these to find one that really works.
You're saying the free time doesn't include your Bible, your study time.
Free time is time I don't have anything planned.
What do you do with it?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because what you do with it is, yes, on your outline you have something called the project planner. And when you are going through your house and writing out your monthly must list and you think, man, I have got to clean out the hall closet, or I've got to sew new drapes for my daughter's bedroom, then you make, just on a piece of paper, you make a project planner, and you just fold it down the middle, and you have one side is minor time projects and the other is major time projects. A minor time project is something that you can do for 5 minutes and then forget about it. A major project is painting the living room, making drapes for the kids' bedroom, something that it takes you 5 minutes just to get everything out, or longer, to get everything out to do the project. And you begin to write these things down that you want to do. They're one-time projects. It's not like you don't put cleaning the oven down, you don't put, you know, taking the dog to the vet's, you know, to have his toenails trimmed, because you do that, you know, however frequently you do that. And so, see, when you have your free time, you just pull out your project list, and because, you know, you're not thinking on negative things, you have all this energy, and you're using your time correctly, then you say, oh, well, I have an hour's free time. What shall I do? Well, let me look at my project list. Well, with an hour, I could do a major time project, so I'll do that. Or maybe you have 15 minutes free, and you go, well, what should I do with my time? And you say, Lord, what should I do with these 15 minutes? And maybe God says, well, you know, why don't you go play Monopoly with your 9-year-old child? Or, you know, why don't you go polish your husband's brown shoes that he's been trying to polish for the last 2 weeks, and the polish and the brushes are still sitting out in the middle of the bathroom floor when he left them 2 weeks ago? You know, that's what you do with your extra time. Okay, do you have a question or comment?
I want to know what type of job you had for you.
What? Yeah. Why? You have me pegged. I had a lot of jobs. Nothing had to do with my college major, just, you know, what was available and paycheck. I worked for a doctor as a gopher. Filing charts and that kind of stuff. I did secretarial. I did PR work. And she was laughing with all this. Yeah, I had, when I worked in an office, I had some, I did secretarial work, and I had some other girls working under me. Set up appointments, yeah. You know, really, that's true. A lot of what I've learned, I did learn through my jobs. I'm a school teacher by trade, and I've done that for a while. And that's another way I learned organization, was teaching, stuff like that. Really, all of this I've learned, none of it.
I don't know what my excuse is. I guess it's those 5-year-olds that harry me.
Let me quickly go on and just share closing here, and then we'll have time for some questions into our free time, because we've gone over here. Our model for being a happy, holy homemaker is found in Proverbs 31. Most of you are familiar with that passage, and when you've read that book, you thought, oh, well, she was just an artsy, crafty person and loved to be at home, and she was the supermom, and blah, blah, blah. But one of my favorite translations to read is the Amplified Bible, and this is a quote by the men who translated the Amplified Bible. This isn't in the Bible. This is a quote from them in reference to this passage. They say, in what way did she excel them all? In her spiritual and practical devotion to God, which permeated every area and relationship of her life. Her secret, which is open to everyone, is the Holy Spirit's climax of this story and of this book. In verse 30, that reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and principal part of wisdom, is given the full responsibility for life, which is valued by God and her husband as far above rubies or pearls. And, you know, that really encouraged me, because I may not be, I'm not organized in every area of my life. There's a lot of days that you can walk into my house and, you know, you'd laugh and say, you really are married, Elsworth, aren't you? And you'd be right. But the encouraging thing from that passage is that it was her devotion to God that changed the areas of her life and made her a person that other people had found to be of worth. And then your happy ending, Luke 10:38-42 is a real common passage about the Mary and Martha story. And I'm not going to take time to read the whole passage tonight, but in the RSV, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. In the Living Bible, verse 40 says, Martha was the jittery type and was worrying over the dinner. And in the Amplified, it says, but Martha, overoccupied and too busy was distracted about much serving. And I think those adjectives, you know, really, you know, show the harried housewife in Martha. Martha was a Harriet, a worrier, overoccupied, distracted, and too busy with serving Jesus to sit at his feet and listen to him. Are you like that? Are you too busy with keeping the house or doing handicrafts or even church activities to listen to Jesus? Serving others is good, but seeking Jesus is best. Our life and our time will never be truly valuable to ourselves or to others until we first sit at the feet of Jesus. He, as we consistently seek him, he will direct our time and our life. His plan may be different from ours, but it will be the best and most fulfilling for us. And when we're following God's plan for us, he promises us that all of our work will be finished. Isn't that encouraging? 1 Chronicles 28:20 in the Living Bible says, "Be strong and courageous and get to work. Don't be frightened by the size of your task, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not forsake you. He will see to it that everything is finished correctly." And that's a verse I pray routinely. At the bottom of your outline, you have a place to just make a commitment. And I would just like to encourage you, what is one thing that the Lord has brought to your mind as we've been talking tonight? Not 15. Just think of one thing that God has brought to your mind that you could start on today or tonight or think about. Just write that down. What is the one thing that God said, you know, what you really need to do is work on having a consistent quiet time. Or maybe the Lord has said, you know what you need to do? You need to go home and clean your oven. What is it that God has told you? Write that down under today. And then under the thing, next week, set a goal for yourself. When are you going to have that done? If God said you need to go home and clean your oven, well, you can't do it tonight. I mean, I guess you could, but it would kind of be unreasonable for you to do that. When can you have that done? Can you have that done by next Monday or next Tuesday or Thursday? Or maybe it'll take you until Saturday to do it. When can you have it done? Write that down. And then as a checkup partner, who's somebody that you can say, hey, I'm going to try to do this by such and such a date. Will you check up on me and see if I got it done? And a lot of times, you know, there's a little quote that says that we get done what somebody inspects, not what we expect. So I'd close in prayer, but it's too loud. Thank you. Do you have any questions?